Welcome to Seniors 2.0, where we believe aging is inevitable, but getting old is not. I'm Heather Rusnak. I'm the Executive Director at Galloway Ridge at Farrington, a fabulous continuing care community located just south of Chapel Hill and Carrboro. And we are here, well, I'm here with my trusty sidekick, Pat Richardson. Hi, Pat.
Hi, good morning.
And how are you?
Good, how are you?
I'm hungry, which is good thing because we're going to talk about nutrition today and food and what it means to age and eat healthy and all sorts of good things. So on this show, you never know what we're going to talk about. Typically, it's going to be hopefully interesting things that have to do with seniors and living their lives and redefining how their lives look. And so today, we're kind of following our theme of the Blue Zone book that we talked to the author's brother slash VP of the Blue Zone world. Mm-hmm. And just for our listeners out there, if there's anyone out there that has not read this book, it is a fascinating look at areas in the world that are hotspots of centenarians. Where do people live the longest? And what are they doing in those areas that allow them to live longer than the average bear? So
I like that, the average bear.
And so, you know, when we read this book, we talked to the author and the folks at the Blue Zones, and we spoke to someone from the state of Iowa who they're actually implementing these strategies into their cities, and they're hopefully to become the healthiest state in the union. And so one of those strategies was going to a more plant-based diet. All of these places around the globe that had this high concentration of centenarians, the Blue Zones, eat mostly plants. Excuse me. And so they're not vegetarians because they do eat meat from time to time, but it's more for celebratory reasons or, a feast that, or it's a Sunday dinner, something like that. So today we are going to talk to two experts on nutrition. And Pat, mm-hmm. I'm feeling a echo.
There is a little echo, isn't it? I don't know why.
Hopefully our listeners can hear us.
Yes. If you can't, call us. And on that note, Heather, what's the call-in number?
If you can't hear us, call us.
Call
yeah,
us.
That's good, yeah. Pat. 919-246-9639 mm-hmm. is the line to call us if you have some questions once we get going. All right, so welcome to my guests. Pat, let's talk about, tell us who our guests are.
Today we're joined by Amy Moyer. Amy is a good friend of ours. Amy works as a consultant at Galloway Ridge, which she's done for 8 years, which I just found out here in the studio. She's been a consultant at Galloway Ridge at Farrington as the consultant dietitian at Galloway Ridge. Now, Amy, when we chat with you a little bit about your history, I want you to share with us what the acronym RD and LN stands for, okay?
Okay.
Amy also teaches at UNCG, and she's been doing long-term care for a while, and she'll tell us a little bit about her history and working in the senior population. We're also joined by Tracy Phillips. Now, Tracy, I met Tracy in Pittsburgh at one of the wonderful groups that she created in 2012 called Wellness of Chatham, and she's a certified holistic health coach. That's a lot to say. Is there an acronym for that?
Yes, that would be CHHC.
That makes sense. Amy started working in the field of health and wellness in 2004, and welcome. Let's get started.
Thank you.
All right. Well, let's start with you, Tracy. So we were talking about seniors and healthy eating, and we all know, you know, there's just lots and lots of information out there. You know, you need to eat, eat right and exercise and that kind of thing. From your perspective, what do you see from the plant slant is the best way to go? What do you recommend as your wellness coach? Well, let me back up for a second. Let's talk about wellness coach. What does the holistic health coach do for folks?
Well, and this is where things are a little bit different, and I do have to do a lot of education when people ask me, because a lot of people do think of me as being similar to a nutritionist or a dietitian, and which I'm not. I am certified as a health coach, which means my background is in over 100 different dietary theories. So I do have the information. But what health coaches do that's different, and I work hand in hand with a lot of dietitians and nutritionists with their clients, is to really help support people in the, you know, that in-between place. It's the gap where we know better, but we're not doing better.
Mm-hmm.
It's emotionally based. Always. It's feeling. So it's really about finding out where the emotional kinks in the garden hose of people who are knowing better, not doing better. So if they're working with a nutritionist on a protocol and they're not following through, there are very good reasons for that. So for me, it's not so much about, I don't recommend, it actually would be illegal for me to recommend a particular dietary protocol for anybody. Mm-hmm. That's not what I'm certified in. I am really more there as a coach, literally, to help people to align them with a chosen protocol that they feel that they need to try. And really, it's more about teaching them about the internal knowledge within, because I really, the basis of what I teach is that you know the answers, you just need to learn to access them. So it's really just kind of about diving into that authentic place that's going to tell you that, hey, I know that I can feel in my body that when I eat this, it feels good. When I eat this, it doesn't feel good. And so if I'm choosing to eat something that doesn't feel good, what's that all about? So there's really a lot of psychology to it, really.
Wow, sounds complicated.
Mm.
But, you know, probably very intuitive as well.
It is. Yes.
Okay, so we want to talk about, you know, the nutrition of what do you see when your clients come to you? What are they eating now? And kind of how do you transition them to... Because, you know, look, I know when I eat a cheeseburger, I don't feel so good. But that doesn't mean I'm going to stop eating cheeseburgers. Mm-hmm. So, you know, how do you get persons past that?
So that's a great question. And a lot of my clients, I mean, it runs the gamut. I have people who are in health. I work with people who are nutritionists. so it really is kind of one of those things that it's individual for each person. But if somebody's telling me, I just have this thing with red meat, I know that I've been also taught, enculturated to believe red meat's not good for me. But I just intuitively, as you said, feel like I shouldn't eat it. I'm like, well, then don't eat it. You know, that's really about that. I mean, and what I think is so interesting is that we're no different than any other animal out there. We have instincts. And just as a deer is going to have an instinct to run before they see whatever the predator is, they're not going to question that.
Right.
You know, they're going to take off running. We, on the other hand, question it all the time. We have these intuitive hits. And then we're like, well, maybe not. Maybe, you know, so... Mm-hmm. Our minds can get in the way. And so it's really about kind of helping people build an awareness of that. And so if they're really trying, but it also means that people have to be on board. They have to be ready. So people can come to me and say, help me change my diet. But if I determine that they're not ready to make the changes that's going to take, then they're not ready. And the work that I would do with them would fall short.
Okay. Well, I mean, that makes sense. What's that saying? When you're ready, the teacher will come, or exactly. Something like that. And then getting very Karate Kid on us. All right. So when we talk about, okay, so let's say I come to you and I say, all right, I'm done with cheeseburgers and french fries. I'm really trying. So I'm ready to move forward and I want to get healthier and I want to embrace some of these characteristics from the Blue Zones, and one of them being eat more plants. Mm-hmm. Walk me through that. What do we do?
So I believe in kind of, it's a little bit different than if you look at the typical diet. It tends to be restrictive in nature. So it's about saying, eat this, don't eat that. And the emphasis is always on don't eat that, right? And what I do is I do what's called, you know, phasing out. And that is about saying, don't change anything. You know, if you're still eating cheeseburgers and you have a desire to eat a cheeseburger, let's just for a second, let's not worry about that. Mm-hmm. But what you're saying is you want to add more vegetables. So let's just add more of what you want and not worry about what you don't want. So we're focusing on what you do want and not what you don't want. Again, very psychology-based. Mm-hmm. But what people find is instead of, you know, then they're not tied up in this restrictive mentality. Mm-hmm. Where they're thinking, all I know is I can't eat chocolate or I can't eat, you know, cheeseburgers or whatever. And that's where their mind goes. That's why they want more of it. So when we take that piece out, people find that they're like, all right, I can add green beans here. I can add broccoli there. I'm good with that. That sounds good. And as the body starts to take in those nutrients, it wants more. So it's sending signals now. Mm. So you add more and you add more. And people turn around and they say, that was so easy. How did that happen? Mm-hmm. I don't want the cheeseburgers as much. Now I want more of this vegetarian-based, you know, meal plan. And it wasn't a struggle.
Mm.
Okay. That's what the difference is.
So that's kind of the reverse of when my kids were little and they wouldn't eat vegetables. And I had this one child, I have five of them. So one of my kids only wanted to eat macaroni and cheese. That was the only thing that he would have in his diet. And I fought with him to give him vegetables. And finally I said, okay, we're just going to give you more of what you want. So I fed him macaroni and cheese for every meal for about, about a week. And then he didn't want any more macaroni and cheese. I still think to this day he won't eat macaroni and cheese. But yeah, so, you know, give them what they want, and and hopefully that will help turn that the psychology of it all around. So that's interesting.
Yeah, and actually our bodies know. And there's a study that was done by a long time ago. I can't remember the name of the man, but he was a Swiss nutritionist or naturopath or something. But he took and he sequestered a bunch of people in a hotel, and they repeated this over and over again in the same outcome, and gave them kind of a diet, basically an open bar or buffet any time of the day. Had everything from the worst food for you to the best food for you. And people could eat whatever they wanted whenever. And of course, as you would expect in the first few days, people went crazy. You know, a lot of people just ate all this, the bad stuff. But over time, and again, it's different for each person, but at about day 3, 4, people started not feeling so good. And so naturally going to the salads and all of that. And by the end of the week, people had found their way down to the end of the bar, you know, salad bar, and the areas that were better for them. And every time they did it with different people from different cultures, they found the same outcome. So we do know what's good for us.
And Amy, what do you see that same type of thing in your practice as a dietitian?
I do. I think people look at dietitians a lot as the person who is going to take everything away from me, everything that I love and everything that I enjoy. I think also, in addition to what Tracy said, when people start to eat more plant-based diets, they find that they really taste good. There's a lot of that mental, particularly, I'm sure, in the South. And I was raised in the South, so I know kind of, you know, I was raised on meat and two veg. They find that there's that mindset of, I'm not going to eat like that because this is the way I've always eaten. But when they start to incorporate those foods, it's like they taste really good. And so you kind of start to make that transition in a natural process, not necessarily taking out the meat and two veg that we've lived on forever, but making a transition, be it subtle or, you know, full force. So I think that's also a factor that we look at, particularly in this area.
Absolutely. And if you eat more, if you add a meat and three, you know, meat and four, then you're not as, maybe not, you get full on the vegetables and you don't eat as much of the meat. Okay. So, you know, especially in this area, there are a lot of vegetarians, holistic, organic foods that, you know, we have Weaver Street Market right down the street. There's a little plug for you, Weaver Street. And so there, it's a really, and I see you're drinking sparkling probiotic coconut drink here in the studio.
So I know I brought basic water and feel like
water's good too.
So what, you know, all right, so I definitely want to try to start incorporating more, and I have a husband who eats the meat, and you know, it's like, what's for dinner? I'm fine. The other night I said, we're just having vegetables. He was like, say what?
I'm gonna be starving.
I just gave him a huge plate of vegetables, and he was full. It's that there is a mentality. So, when you know, we're talking about seniors, and let's say you're a senior, and you've lived, like Amy's saying, you know, you've grown up in the South, and you've had that, and that is your way you eat. Are there risks to stopping eating protein for seniors?
Well, they definitely have to have the protein. As we age, our bodies have a little bit more difficult time processing protein. So the amount may go down just a little bit in terms of what we actually need. But if we're cutting out the meat, then we need to make sure that we're balancing out those vegetables to make sure we're getting complementary proteins. Is kind of a term that used to be very, very strict. It now, basically, if you can get the combinations of the proteins throughout the day, it doesn't have to be in one meal. So we still do need the protein, and so we plan our menus, particularly at Galloway. We plan them to make sure that we're meeting those needs, as well as our meat meals also. Yeah.
And so when you say complementary proteins, what are we talking about?
We're talking about the essential amino acids that the meat provides, but the vegetables are missing one of those. So we have to complement with two vegetables or grains to make sure that we get all of the essential amino acids somewhere in the course of the day.
So can you give us an example of what kind of foods those would be?
Rice and beans goes great together. Okay. Yeah, they complement each other. So we come together with all the, there's nine essential, or not essential, excuse me, essential amino acids that we don't make, as our body does not make them. So we have to bring them in our diet. So the rice has maybe four of them, and the beans have five, and so together they make a complementary protein.
Uh-huh. Hmm. See, we learned something.
Yeah.
And so, all right, so I'm a senior, and I'm looking to get healthier because I want to live longer. Mm-hmm. And so I'm cutting back on the meat. I'm adding more vegetables on my plate. What else shall I do?
Well, you know, bee pollen actually has all the essential amino acids that a lot of people don't know about. And
how do you eat bee pollen?
Very carefully. especially if the bee's still attached.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's one of those things, you can get it. You can actually just go, and I think even Whole Foods, another plug there, Whole Foods has it as an add-on to their juice bar. You can get bee pollen put in your little juice, your mm-hmm. fresh-made juice, although it's granular. So I kind of recommend, if you're going to put it in a smoothie, or, you know, you can sprinkle it on things. You can put it in salads. There's various ways you can eat it, but it's, or you can take it in capsule form. I mean, again, you don't even have to have it in your food. But, yeah, it's another one a lot of people don't know. And I think that's the big key, is that we've been taught a certain way. And when we go into the realm of possibility, it opens up all of these things we've never experienced before. Mm-hmm. It's just, we have to be willing to look beyond what we know. And that's the thing. And when I work with people who are going paleo, you know, and they're like, I love baking, I love baked products, you know, but I can't give them up. I said, okay, you can bake. You can make zucchini bread and muffins and pastries. You just use nut meal instead of flour. Mm-hmm. So it's, you know, it's like, oh, wow, suddenly you've opened up this whole world of possibility. That people didn't think existed.
Hmm. Okay. Well, I see something here called the Integrative Nutrition Plate. What is that?
So the Integrative Nutrition Plate, now I got my certification through an integrative program that this was their model. And essentially what they did is they took the USDA MyPlate, which is the current kind of standard of what we should be eating. And they tweaked it a little bit. So they took out the milk and they added water. Mm-hmm. They added essential good quality fats and oils, which is not in the MyPlate version. And they incorporated the concept that I teach, which is about primary foods, which I think we're going to get into at some point. Mm-hmm. But it's basically saying that the holistic view of one's life is more than just diet it's more than just diet. It's exercise. It's our relationships with one another. It's our spirituality. It's our, do we love our career? Are we happy with our work? Are we not? So all of these different components that play into our life are key. Mm-hmm. And so we need to look at that in addition, and how that plays a role, because really that is going to put our relationships with other people, our happiness in our work, is going to put a lot of stress on even the decisions we make on the food we eat. So it's important to add that to the model.
That seems very blue zone.
It's exactly mm-hmm. the blue zone.
<You're right. laughs>
That's wow.
That is blue zone.
Isn't it funny? You just
she named
brought
them all
in another
day.
Person.
She really did. You should have written that book.
We're creating our own little community of Blue Zone people.
We're drinking the Kool-Aid.
We are.
Yeah, we're drinking the Kool-Aid. It's good.
Okay, so let's talk more about that concept of primary and secondary food. What is that?
Okay, so primary foods are everything other than food, actually, that we nourish ourselves with, that we feed ourselves with in life. So, again, like I said, relationships with others, you know, our relationship with the work we do, you know, how much physical activity we get, that type of thing. You know, these are primary because they really are the things that will indeed determine how we make choices about secondary food, which is food itself. And so when I work with people who have eating disorders of some sort, for example, it's this concept of, it's not about the food. I have to keep telling them it's not about the food. It's about your feelings. And your feelings probably were established around this, if you go back into childhood, over something that had nothing to do with food. Mm-hmm. You were made to feel that you weren't important in your family, let's say. And so you used food as a surrogate for love. And so we're using, a lot of times, because it's more readily available, we use food as a surrogate for something we're not getting in our primary foods. So there's just this constant integrated relationship between the two. And that's why we discuss them and need to talk about them, because usually in the model of healthcare we have had in the past, it's changing thankfully, we leave those components out completely. And they are so impactful you know, on the food and exercise decisions we make.
That makes sense. Amy, do you use that with your geriatric or older population?
I do to some extent. You know, when we're talking about our residents in healthcare, they've probably gotten to a point where food is a comfort, and we try to give them what they want to eat. Mm-hmm. We have a lot of things that are always available, and we try to make that their focus, because at that point in time, they've lost a lot of control over other factors, and food is one of the last things they've got to hold on to and control. So we work very, very, very closely with them. With our independent living and other older adults, I would say yes, very much so, yeah.
Well, and I think, you know, like you said, healthcare is changing to, you know, going away from, you know, the doctor says you have to be on a puree diet and you cannot, you know, I mean, unless there's some physical reason why you can't swallow. But, you know, why not let him eat ice cream mm-hmm. and mm-hmm. and chocolate cake and a glass of wine if they want it? And, you know, I think by the time you get to that stage in life, you've mm-hmm. earned whatever you want.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But as far as, you know, the little bit younger part of the generation, I think that is important that... Because even when they do move into retirement communities or they just retire, even if they don't move into a community, they're still losing out on the, they don't work anymore. Where is their connection with their tribe, so to speak? Mm-hmm. Do the kids live far away, typically, with our society these days? So I think that's something we should think about. We can get Amy over there and...
Yeah. Can I say something yeah. else? Mm-hmm. One thing that we talk about, particularly when I counsel with anyone, but our independent living residents, we talk a lot about mindful eating. And if someone comes to me and says that, you know, I know I have diabetes, but I'm eating the wrong foods, the first thing I tell them to do is write down everything that you eat for 3 days, 5 days, whatever you're comfortable with, but also write down why you're eating it. What is your mental frame of mind at that point in time? Are you hungry? Heather, you said you were hungry, so you're ready to eat because you're hungry. Are you bored? Are you tired? Are you sad? Are you depressed? Write it down, and then let's look at that and talk about if you're just eating because you're sad, what can we bring into your life, your lifestyle pattern that can substitute for that food at that particular moment.
Mm-hmm.
So mindful eating is a really big thing, I think, in the world of nutrition in general. Yeah.
Do you find that as well?
Oh, absolutely. Mm-hmm. I'm over here. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Nodding her head.
I do too, yes. And it made me, that mindful eating made me think about, I know this is totally different, but the 80-20.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
You know, eat till you're 80% full.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And then push the plate away, or mindful eating having a smaller plate size.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Right. Mm-hmm. One of the things that the folks from Blue Zone were telling us, just for, you know, us in our own homes to do that, we can just rearrange our pantries and, you know, put the healthy food in front versus, right. you know, the ding-dongs. Well, they don't even have ding-dongs anymore.
They don't. I think they're trying to bring them back. They brought back Twinkie or something like that.
Twinkies
or
came back.
Dials or something came back. Yeah. Or just not bringing them in the house at all.
Yes. Exactly. Mm-hmm. And my house, we don't eat sweets. I don't care for them. I bake them every now and then, but we don't eat sweets. And so every now and then, I'm telling a story on my husband. I will find hidden under, you know, the basket of laundry, you know, this Oreo box. It's like empty. I'm like, where did that come from? He's like, I can only eat kale chips so much. You know. But anyway, but some easy tips, you know, making your eat off the salad plate instead of the big plate.
Right.
And those kinds of things are easy things that we can do now. Pat?
Yes. Hi.
Hi.
We did have a caller, and he was a little confused, so he was calling from McDonald's.
It's perfect.
Well, we are talking about nutrition.
Maybe he wasn't confused.
I had to
maybe
keep myself composed to tell him it was the wrong number.
Aww.
Right down the street there a little bit.
Well,
We are hungry on this show.
Yes, we are.
It was exciting. All right. So you have these clients and both of you, you know, you counseled with these people.
He's calling back.
Uh-oh. Maybe he'd rather eat plants and vegetables than McDonald's. But you counsel with these folks and, you know, taking the older, a little bit older folks and What positive, you know, impacts have you seen? Have you had some success stories of folks that have really changed their diets and had health benefits, et cetera?
Yes, I have. I've worked with a couple people in their 70s, actually, who really came from a background of not eating well and wanting for a long period of time to learn to do that. And so they were ready. I think that I talked about that readiness factor, but they just didn't know what to do. So it was mm-hmm. really about empowering them, you know, to kind of reach, well, what do you want to do? You know, mm-hmm. that's one of the things my clients get a little frustrated in the beginning because they want me to tell them, you mm-hmm. know, and I'm always asking the question, why do you keep asking me questions when I ask you a question? I think, well, what do you think? Mm-hmm. But they really, I think that that's the important thing, is that they did have that information. They just didn't know they did. And because it wasn't a part of their daily protocol for X number of years of their life, you know, they just kind of overlooked it. But as they started to slowly, and again, I always tell people it's a slow process. In the beginning, it's really more about building awareness and observing almost like a witness in your life. What is it? What are your thoughts? I love what Amy said about, you know, write down what you were thinking about when you go to eat. Because it's getting people to that place where they are thinking. Because mm-hmm. I think, especially in our culture, we don't think when we eat. Right. In fact, many of us eat on the fly. And I've had clients even say, I say, well, what did you have for breakfast? I don't know if I ate breakfast. Let me think. You know, because they're literally doing other things that they forget they even ate. So I think bringing that back and getting people tapped mm-hmm. into that place where they can get the information they need about the decisions they're making is important.
Mm-hmm. Do you think it's important to eat three meals?
Dead size. Yeah.
Yes.
That's a controversial, yeah. Well, you know, I again, bioindividuality is the way I look at it when I work mm-hmm. with my clients. And so it's if you can read everything, you know, Ayurvedic tradition is 1 to 2 meals, you know, so it depends on you can get every answer in the book on that one.
Right.
But it's not about our answers for a particular individual. When I look at a client, it's about their answers. And so if they're hungry a lot, if they, you know, if not eating breakfast, I know I shouldn't eat breakfast, but I actually feel better when I don't eat breakfast. Well, keep doing right. what you're doing then. You know, it's really about listening to the person and then making sure, like Amy said, that the components of when they do eat, that it's as balanced as possible in the way that is comfortable for them. So if they're a meat eater, let's incorporate the best quality meat. Let's start learning about quality meats and how to find them and mm-hmm. your resources locally and that kind of thing. If they're not, let's look at what, like she said, it's so important to get those amino acids in there. So it's really, it's about balance, I think, more than the number of meals.
Okay.
I agree. And also I think, you know, maybe a smoothie or a small yogurt is, we can count it as a meal, but maybe they're not counting it as a meal. I think, you know, we don't have to look at, again, the meat and two veg as a meal, as what constitutes mm-hmm. a meal. Maybe we, you know, eat something, a healthy granola bar that we've made at home, that type of thing. That can count as a meal, that can count as substance and, you know, nutrition for the point, but it doesn't have to be a full-out meal that we have to cook and sit down to, that type of thing.
Grazing,
yeah. That's how I eat. I'd love to. Mm-hmm. I can just eat 6 or 7 times a day, but not much at a time.
Right.
Yeah.
And you're very thin, and it doesn't cause.
It works for you. It works for you.
My mom says I eat enough calories for about 30 minutes at a time.
So, yeah, because there could be a danger in eating 6 times a day if mm-hmm. you're eating a full meal,
oh, yeah.
right?
Oh, my
yeah.
gosh.
Mm-hmm.
And so, Amy, you read the book, Blue Zones?
I've skimmed it. Okay. I got it just recently, and so I've skimmed it and kind of done some quick Googling on it, yeah. But
and did you, from your perspective, being a dietitian, you know, there's some very specific food choices in the book mm-hmm. that talk about, you know, eating nuts. Nuts is very a common thread throughout all of the Blue Zones, mm-hmm. A certain kind of oil. I forget the name of it,
yeah.
but the, it was not any oil that we'd ever heard mm-hmm. of, you know, mm-hmm. this kind of thing. So, I mean, these are obviously nuts are easy,
right?
But what were some of your other impressions of the food that they were talking about?
I'm not sure what the oil was. I didn't get to that yet, but, I actually have a friend who is very, very particular about what she eats. She has a couple of autoimmune diseases, and she is in the process of becoming a registered dietitian. But she has altered her diet so very much. She's not a vegetarian, but she does the gluten-free, the soy-free, the dairy-free, and she eats a lot of nuts. And I said to her one day, she was eating nuts and they looked so good. And I said, I'm really jealous of you because you can eat those nuts and not get fat. And she's like, oh my gosh, I gained 5 pounds eating nuts over Christmas. But shortly after that, I saw Andrew Weil. Is it Weil or Weil?
Weil.
Weil. I thought so. there was a researcher, and I don't know the man's name, but there was a researcher that said that actually the fat that is absorbed from nuts, we actually gain fewer calories from the nuts than we do from another fat source. Mm-hmm. So we decided that, yes, we can eat our nuts safely, and we can get you know, some protein and some healthy fats from our nuts. But did I answer your question?
Well, no, I was just wondering.
I got off on
great
nuts.
Points, though. I love
I'm like
you
really
said.
Excited because I can eat nuts now yeah. and not feel guilty about it. In portion controlled mm-hmm. nuts.
Well, and the Blue Zone, I think, says eat things that are high with omega-3 mm-hmm. fatty acids. Mm-hmm. So, and those could be, you know, lots of different things. One of the things, what about goat's milk? What do y'all think about goat's milk?
I think it's wonderful. When my daughter was younger, we were very lucky to have a friend who had goats, and so we got milk right from her, which was really lovely because it was both raw and, you know, goat. Uh-huh. Uh-huh. And for people who have lactose intolerance issues, goat's milk can provide a nice alternative for them because it's not the same as it's not, I guess it would be considered dairy, kind of like eggs are considered dairy, you know.
Right.
But it definitely, its makeup is very different. And so for people who enjoy milk or want milk, you know, in cereal or, you know, whatever they want in smoothies and want to try goat's milk, it definitely has a different taste. And I always recommend, and this is what I learned from our friend, is that she would milk the goats and immediately put the milk on ice. So if you refrigerate it very quickly right away, it doesn't get that goaty taste that a lot of people know about. It's like the aftertaste in saccharin. You know, it kind of tends to come along with goat products. You won't get it. So it's how it's handled, which is true of any food. But I think it's good. Some people still have issues. So it's about trial and error. I think taking that childlike mentality of learning for a new time, you know, the first time, is to just try it. If it's something that you're curious about, try it and see what your body says.
What about coconut milk?
Coconut milk, again, we have to be careful because some people have allergic issues with coconut. Okay. Coconut milk, not as much as coconut products. It's usually in like the meat that people tend to have more problems. But, you know, the milk itself can again, you know, we have so many digestive disturbances in our culture now. And again, each one affects everybody differently. And so I always tell people, you know, just see. I know with me, if I drink too much, I get burning. Mm-hmm. Or if I take too much coconut stuff, I can eat a little bit or I can take in a little bit, but more than that is not good. So, again, it's just try it. There are a lot of benefits to coconut milk products and that kind of thing. Like I'm drinking the Kavita. That's a coconut water, which is different. That's before it's the young coconut. Before the milk is created, it's water.
Okay.
And so as the coconut ages, that water becomes milk. Hmm. But in the beginning, it's very, very filled with electrolytes. It's the most natural electrolyte source.
So coconut water is great.
Coconut water is better than Gatorade. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Hopefully Gatorade company won't get it. That's right. Oop, erase.
We're going to have to censor that one. This is community radio.
That's good. I can save a lot of money on Gatorade for the soccer team. We'll just bring them all coconut water and see how that works. So back to kind of some of the principles from the Blue Zone. One of the things that they all had in common, I'm really interested to have you all's your input on this, is they all drank some sort of red wine or some kind of wine. In Okinawa, they drank sake, which is rice wine. And then the other ones were all a red wine that was a very, deep, dark red. I mean, it was different kinds of grapes. But what do y'all think about that?
Amy?
Well, we're talking antioxidants at that point in time, and I think it's great. from what I read of the book, it was like they started drinking the wine in the morning. They didn't just necessarily have a glass with dinner. But, yeah, we're certainly talking about the resveratrol, the antioxidants that are going to lend to the healthier lifestyle. I really think I was really impressed with what I have read of the book. I feel like we in this country, maybe it's more in this area, but in this country, we are really transitioning to this. We are getting away from you have to eat this many calories a day, and this is the only way you can be healthy, and you have to have the perfect body weight by the charts. I really think this is where we are going, and I'm really excited because I feel like this has been where I've been based as on a personal basis, but also in my practice. You know, I have people who go, well, how many calories can I eat? Because I want to lose, you know, 50 pounds, and how many calories can I eat? And I think it's really more about, I mean, you definitely need to look at portion control, but I think it's really about looking at what you're eating and, again, why you're eating. Are you exercising? There is no magic pill. Mm-hmm. There just is no magic pill. You just have to adopt the lifestyle. So I'm really excited about the book. I'm glad that I've had the opportunity to read it and
and
read more.
No, and I encourage everyone listening, if you are out there listening, to get this book. It's really fascinating. And one of the things that all of these zones had in common as well was they all ate what came out of their garden.
Right.
And community garden. And it also talks about their plan of, I mean, their, we call it plan de vida, or their reason for living. What do they need? What gets them up in the morning? And, you know, for the elderly, it was, you know, I got to get up and tend to my plants because I'm producing food for my family, my village, what have you. And so what, you know, are we, I think we're seeing more community gardens. I don't know if it's just this area.
Tracy knows a lot about one in Alamance.
It's in Alamance County. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's actually in Graham or Eli Whitney. Mm-hmm. It's a little tiny neighborhood within Graham, I think. So you drive too far and blink and you miss it. But it's an absolutely wonderful, and it actually is organic. So not all community gardens are organically farmed, I guess. And there are many. I mean, I think it, again, it's created around two concepts I find when I talk to people who've either started gardens or are part of gardens. It's to grow our own food because we realize that, you know, financially it's a better deal. But that we know what goes into that food when we you know, plant it and grow it ourselves. But then also we have very busy schedules and lifestyles, and so the concept of coming together as a community to oversee and ensure that this garden is tended and taken care of and the food in it is eaten, that we come together to create that. But that being said, all of them are, you know, obviously created differently. I know there's a good one in Bynum. Mm-hmm. You know, there are a lot of them through schools now, churches. Mine is a church-related community garden, so it's exciting to see, and I do think there's a huge trend. And you know, I always tell people you don't even need to worry. You know, you don't even need to find an outside place. I mean, you can get in with your neighbors. I mean, we live in a cul-de-sac, and there's one particular neighbor that has a larger plot of land that is not right in their septic. You know, so they can't actually use it. And all of us can come together and tend one garden. You know, so even though it's on their land, they don't have the time to dedicate everything to it, and we can grow different things. Some people do it as a community thing where they'll just grow a few things, and their neighbors will grow a few other things and a few other things. And so collectively, they're growing a lot of things, but they're only having to care for even things in pots. So it's really about kind of, I think, looking at, as I tell people, if you have an interest in community gardening, you get a lot out of it other than just the food. You get the community share, you know, you do come together as a community. And so you're, again, you know, having that outside connection, which is a part of these longevity studies. They're finding that all of these people. The other thing I was going to say, too, is these cultures don't have the stress we have. And that's the key piece I always tell people is we can eat the purest food and drink the purest water and exercise all day, and we can still die young if we're stressed. And so it really is important, I think, you know, breathing. I like to teach a lot of good breathing techniques to people. To slow down, I mean, blood pressure is just one of the biggest issues right now in our culture, high blood pressure. So that's an important thing, too, is not just to look at the components of the food that these communities, these longevity blue zones, what they're eating and how they're exercising or interacting with one another, but just kind of their lifestyle in general, the pace of their lifestyle.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I think that, you know, in reading the book, they address stress, and they say that they do have stress in those cultures, but how they deal with it is the key. You know, in Sardinia, they're sheep herders, and if their sheep, you know, run off and they lose their herd, I mean, that stresses them, right? But yet they have the tribe, they have the village, they have the family connection, they have neighbors who will go out and help them look for the sheep together. Or, you know, okay, we can't find your sheep, so you can have one of mine, you know. And, it, you know, I think that is so important because really in this country, with, you know, the beginning of the industrial age and the cars, and, you know, now we all live somewhere different than where we probably started out. And we lose connection with that. And I think that's one reason then why retirement communities are successful, because it brings back a connection with other folks that are in the sort of the same boat that you are. But we're seeing that with the trend in retirement communities, in a way, is to go into more intergenerational kind of areas, to where, you know, there's a retirement center in and there's a work, you know, there's businesses and there's families that live in, you know, in right. these towns, mm-hmm. if you will, that are created just for that. And I think that's very, very blue zone, if you will.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So, I'm excited. I think that we're seeing more of a retro throwback to going to the, you know, growing our own food and canning our own preserves and doing those things that our grandparents did. And it was good for them. And it's good for us. So do y'all know how to can?
I do. I was raised on a farm where we canned and froze everything. We had our own cow. We had our own pigs. And, I mean, we did that. As I was telling Tracy before, we used quite a lot of Seven Dust, though. So I'm not sure if we defeated our purpose or not. But yeah, we do.
There are classes you can take on how to can.
Oh, absolutely. Yes. Absolutely.
I know CCCC, which is in Pittsburgh. They do mm-hmm. a lot of those types of right. classes. Mm-hmm. And our community garden does as well every summer.
Mm-hmm.
There's somebody who comes in and teaches how to, you know, because we have all these tomatoes.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You guys need to do something with all the tomatoes.
And can you imagine, like, when you go to these certain restaurants that starts with M and a W, and you ever go to them and you get tomatoes that are kind of not ripe and they're green, and you're saying you have an abundance of tomatoes. Where is this not coming together that you can get fresh?
Yeah, legal vegetables. Red tape.
Yeah,
legal
right.
red tape is where it's coming to. It's being tied up by that. Because mm-hmm. you see that in schools too. There's mm-hmm. a lot of people who are trying to get involved in changing the school meals,
mm-hmm.
and they keep butting up against all of the legal stuff.
Sometimes we think through the process too much instead of just
allowing.
It's called government, darling.
Yeah, yes. You know, instead of just diving it in and making it happen.
Because we got to keep people safe. That's
someone I know in this room likes to do that, but.
What, think too much?
No. Dive in there and let it happen.
Yeah. That's right. Mm-hmm. I'm all about action.
That's right.
Okay, so let's, you know, we're kind of we've been all over the place, and it's been fun here, but I want to just kind of get back to our seniors and some tips that they could take away from this. If they want to get started, you know, eating healthier and, you know, living longer, because it's not about, you know, if you live to 100, that's great. But if you have a poor quality of life that you know, you can't get around and you're sick all the time, that's not so great. So we want folks to live longer, but have a great quality of life as well. And I think one of the, you know, and as we said, it's not the only factor, diet, but it certainly is a big piece of it. So let's say I'm 70. I'm not, but let's just pretend I'm 70. I'll get there one day. Mm-hmm. And I, you know, I've heard this radio show and I just think this is great. I'm going to start doing it today. And I'm not going to come and be your clients, you two, but so let's give them some tips. What are the top five things you could say, start doing this and you can see some benefits?
Well, I think one of the best ways to start is actually going to a local farmer's market. I have been involved in farmer's markets on and off. I ran one for a while. And the relationships that everything, it's like a community garden. Uh-huh. But it's a great way to get educated on your food, for one. So, you know, you meet the person who's growing it. You can ask them questions about it. You can ask. I remember the first time I found kohlrabi at one of the farmer's markets. I had no idea what kohlrabi was. And I knew it looked fascinating. So I wanted to try it, but not only did I not know what it was, but I didn't know how to cook it. And so talking to the person who had grown it, I'm getting recipes and all of this, and we struck up a friendship. And so now there's so many, you go for food mm-hmm. and you leave with so much more. So I would say there's so many of them. I know Farrington has one that comes to them. Mm-hmm. You know, that there seems to be one that's close to most of, you know, the retirement communities, or, and if not, you know, find out if maybe your retirement community could, you know, take bus of you to one that's in the local area. So mm-hmm. If I just threw out one thing, I would say start there. Mm-hmm. Start there. It's a good place.
Well, the other option is co-ops. There yes. are co-ops mm-hmm. that are around. We have Weaver Street here, another plug. Mm-hmm. We have one in Chatham. We have one in Burlington, Alamance County. That's another good place. If you can't get to the farmer's market for some reason, you can still glean the benefits of the farmer's market. I would probably say get up and take a walk. You know, I mean, nutrition obviously is going to be a big focus, and it's probably weird that the dietitian's saying get up and take a walk. But it all works together. You can make those subtle changes in your diet, but again, we want that magic pill. We don't want to have to get up and walk. My brother, I actually talked to him. He's a little bit overweight. He's in his 50s. He said his blood pressure's extremely high. And I said, well, are you walking? Drives a truck. Mm-hmm. He's in one of those situations where, you know, he doesn't have a lot of ability. But he said, well, his lifestyle coach had told him to park the truck as far away from the building as possible when he goes to get gas or whatever. And I said, you got to do more than that. That's good,
a good place to start,
but you have to do more than that. So, you know, let's change our mentality and let's get up and let's go walk or let's go take a swim or whatever it is that you enjoy. It has to be something that you enjoy to make you happy, to make it work, mm-hmm. to stick with it.
Yeah, one of the Blue Zone tips is move naturally. Mm-hmm. You know, none of these folks in these communities around the world had gyms.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, they get up, they go to their garden, they go out with their sheep. There's one in California. And I mean, they, you know, so it's not like it's, you know, you have to be in some
right.
third world country.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Functional exercise.
Right. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But, you know, it's getting out and trim your trees or cut your grass or whatever it is.
Not even thinking about it as exercise. Like you said, trim
right.
your trees, cut your grass.
Right.
It's just
mm-hmm.
your
mm-hmm.
things that you have, you need to do and want to do.
That's right.
I hope you want to cut your grass. But just doing, cleaning up, you mm-hmm. know, cleaning your house on a Saturday, up and down the stairs can give you a workout.
Right.
Well, it's the mentality that we have with these things. We say diet. Most mm-hmm. people break out in a cold sweat. We yes. say exercise, same thing, you know. And mm-hmm. so I always tell my clients, we don't call it exercise. We call it movement. Because the cavemen didn't mm-hmm. think of it as exercise. That's mm-hmm. a man-made concept, you know,
yeah.
like later on man-made, industrial man-made mm-hmm. concept, as we started to have less functional exercise. So mm-hmm. if we think about it as movement, it seems to be an easier thing to ease into.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what kind of movement are you going to get today? I always ask people, you know, where did your movement come from?
That's a good way to look at it.
Where did your movement come from?
Yeah, because mm-hmm. if you think exercise, I think I do. I think, okay, I got to go work out. I got to go to the gym. There's a class at 5:30. I got to be there at 5:30. If I miss the time, and that just stresses me out.
Stress.
But, you know, I was planting a garden over the weekend, and not a vegetable garden, just some flowers. And there's a big mulch pile in my backyard. So I decided I'm going to mulch more the flowers, so no more weeds. And the next day, I realized I exercised. I uh-huh. shoveled mulch uh-huh. and carried it over around to the front yard and you know, it was bending and up and down. So I felt it. But
uh-huh. did you have fun?
Yeah. And, you know, and now every night when I go home from work, get my little gardening can, my little watering can, and I go over and I water my flowers. And, you know, previously it was just a patch of weeds. Mm-hmm. I'll be honest. I didn't care about it. It was not didn't look very pretty. But now, yeah, so it is. It gives you something even to, you know, to take care of. Mm-hmm. Even I got plenty of things to take care of, but it gives you that sort of that reason for, you know, having a pet, having some plants. Mm-hmm. It's helpful.
It is. It makes mm-hmm. you feel good. I always tell people, if it feels good, it's right. If it doesn't feel good, it's time for investigation.
Like that.
Well, it's like you say, mm-hmm. the Blue Zone people are not marathon runners.
No.
Mm-hmm. They're just going
yeah.
about daily life. Their daily life is probably a little bit different than what we think of as daily life, but they're not out there running marathons. They're just getting that movement that you
just
say.
Moving.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. Just yeah. moving. Just moving naturally living. In general.
They're fishing. You remember the gentleman that was fishing at 90? Was it 90 years old? He was
mm-hmm.
surf fishing. Surf fishing, yeah. Not just regular fishing.
Wow. You know, he was actually diving in the mm-hmm. ocean,
wow.
catching them with his hands or
yeah.
something.
With his teeth.
But you hear about these, mm-hmm. Phenomenal elderly people that have, you know, the one guy who's 101, he still water skis. And,
mm-hmm. yeah.
You know, this man who's, because he had to go catch fish to feed his family.
Mm-hmm.
I think he had a spear, too.
Yeah, to feed the village.
But,
yeah.
You know, they're still very viable, very, you know, active, and it's possible. And I think, you know, with medical technology, we're living longer anyway. I'm really, really passionate about making the quality of those years as best
yeah.
we can.
Yeah.
And that's what we try to do at Galloway Ridge, mm-hmm. Farrington Village, 9 miles south of Chapel Hill.
Mm-hmm. That's it. But the quality is important because, like you mentioned, if you're living to 90 and you are sedentary, you're depressed, you're physically, you can't move about, really, what quality of life do you have?
Yeah, but you still have life, so there's always
you do
you
still
know,
have
you,
life.
You still have life, mm-hmm. so there's always that room for, mm-hmm. to find that quality.
Yeah,
and there's you know I think that's the thing that I would mm-hmm. say reach out.
Yeah,
you know whether it's I mean not everybody has to go and get a health coach or work with a dietitian mm-hmm. or a nutritionist. I mean if you just reach out to friends, family to start with, you know mm-hmm. that creates a ripple effect. Mm-hmm. But I think definitely you know to look at that because it's never too late.
Would you say start small is better than
yes.
doing
yes.
nothing?
Yes. Yes, absolutely.
Take one walk a day around your block.
Right. And think about setting yourself up for success. So if you think you can only do 2 minutes, start with 2 minutes. You know, it's not about the end result. It's about the process. And I think that one of the things that I find when I'm working with people and they say, I know better, but I don't do better, is because there's this lack of self-trust. Because we build it from early age. You know, we promise we're going to go on that diet on Monday, or we promise that we're going to do that thing, you know, today, and we never get to it, and we keep putting it off. And every time we do that, we build this distrust within ourselves. And so why would we take on a new project if we already feel that we're not going to follow through? And so I say, you know, in order to build that trust back up, you need to start with things that you know you're going to do. 5 minutes of daily mindfulness. Right. Write one thing down. Walk for 5 minutes. Whatever it is, you, as you feel good, you're going to want to do more.
I like that.
Mm-hmm. We all start somewhere.
Got to start somewhere.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. The marathon runners don't run 26 miles yes. the first day. Right. You know, we you're start somewhere.
Are you a marathon runner?
I've done a half, okay. a couple of halves, yes.
We do have, for all you runners out there, we will be sponsoring a 5K. It's not quite a marathon.
Yay.
But a gallery.
Well, some it is.
Well, for me, yeah.
Yeah, it feels like it, yes.
I decided to run it last year, and I'm not a runner, and I was huffing and puffing, but I made it, and it was very, it was rewarding, mm-hmm, you know, yes. just to finish it, and I went home and had all this energy, and I made my son's banana pancakes, and they were like, "Who are you?" I'm a
just
marathon runner.
A marathon.
So my one son was like, "Could you please run a 5K every day?"
At least once a week, right?
But anyway, when is our 5K, Pat?
September 13th, and they can register at sportofton.com and just look for Chatham County, and it'll bring the registration page up.
Okay.
Yep.
There's a little plug for our 5K, too. Mm-hmm. And one last thing before we wrap up, and I do want to tell our listeners how to get a hold of you two ladies, but the other thing that I loved about this is they take naps.
Yeah.
I like
yes.
that.
Yes.
And every one of these Blue Zones took a nap at some point in the day. Was it a siesta or whatever? Is there some you know, scientific thing that y'all know about, knowing Amy with, you know, body physicality, does that help?
Yeah, I don't have any scientific research on that, but I know how much better I feel when I sleep for 10 minutes, mm-hmm. just refreshed. And, you know, you hit that point where you're down and your productivity goes down. So mm-hmm. could we do a nap time at Galloway Ridge?
I'm thinking about it. Yeah.
Everybody has their mats.
Yeah. Oh, I like that. Be a kindergarten.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, why do we give these things up after a certain age?
Know.
You know, obviously, they're important then. They're still important. When I lived in Switzerland, everything shut down for 2 hours a day. And I remember as an American, when I first got there, I was like, this is crazy. I can't go to the bank during my lunch period. I can't do, you know, literally. And because people go home and have lunch with their families, or they take a nap, or mm-hmm. they go to the pub, or whatever mm-hmm. they do. But it's downtime. And it's built into the culture. And I couldn't figure out why it was so hard for me to reacclimate to coming back to the United States until I finally realized, oh, my nap time's gone. So, yes, nap mm-hmm. time. Even if it's 10 minutes, if you set an alarm. My husband has this funny thing that we always joke about. It's called the Piz. I'll get into that. But it's this headset, and it walks you through this whole thing where you end up for 10 minutes. It puts you into this relaxed state.
Oh, that's nice.
And so you may not necessarily be falling asleep, but you're in that relaxed state, and you get the benefits of having taken a nap. So
almost like meditating?
It is a lot. Like it's a guided meditation type of thing, but it you know, anything, there's so many things out there. There are apps for everything. Mm-hmm. but yeah, I think nap time's great.
All right, well, you heard it here first. We're going to change the culture of America. We're all going to start taking naps.
Mm-hmm. We're all going to download the Piz app.
That's another show. All right. Well, my guests today have been really interesting, and I've had fun talking with y'all. Amy Moyer is an RD and LN, and you were going to tell us what that means.
Yes, registered dietitian is basically our national certification, and the LDN is licensed dietitian / nutritionist for the state of North Carolina, which is what sets us apart slightly from Tracy. Mm-hmm. I can do the diet prescriptions. I can talk to you about chronic diseases and how to work with your diet. If you're not licensed, you don't get to do that. Sorry.
Yeah. And Amy, do you take clients?
I do. Individual through at Galloway through the Duke Center for Living. Okay. I do see clients.
Okay, great. So if you're interested in talking to Amy, you can come to the Duke Center for Living at Farrington, right there at Galloway Ridge, because we're open to the general public as well for that fitness center. And how about you, Tracy? How can folks get a hold of you if they want to get coached?
Well, I actually provide my first session with anybody who's interested in just finding out about what health coaching is about for free. So it's a 60-minute phone consult. So best way to contact me is probably through my website, which is www.certainwaytowellness, all spelled out, .com. And I'm also on LinkedIn. Also, I have a Facebook page, both for Wellness of Chatham, which Pat mentioned at the beginning of the hour, which is a group I started about 4 years ago in Chatham County, to connect wellness like-minded individuals with one another. So it's people who I have come and do speaking on various topics, kind of like what we're talking about today. Mm-hmm. But it's always free. So that's also on Facebook under Wellness of Chatham, and then That Certain Way to Wellness, which is the name of my company, is also on Facebook.
Yeah, for your group Wellness of Chatham, is that for professionals or both?
It's both. It was my reaction to finding that a lot of my clients didn't know about resources in our general area. Mm-hmm. So I thought, well, why not have these great resources, acupuncturists, massage therapists, come and actually educate, do a talk about what they do, and so people could connect with them. So it's really people who are practitioners connecting with one another, and it's also the public being able to find out where these resources are and learn about them.
Excellent, excellent, excellent topic. Lots of good information. Thank you, ladies, for joining us today.
Thank you.
And this is Seniors 2.0, Your Life Redefined. Join us next week when who knows what we'll be talking about, but it'll be fabulous and fun.
I'm glad you didn't ask me. Goodbye.
Bye-bye. Sunshine day, you ain't seen nothing yet. The best is yet. Come and babe, won't it be fine? Best is yet to come, come the day you're mine. Come the day you're mine. I'm gonna teach you to fly. We've only tasted the wine. We're gonna drain the cup dry. Wait till your charms are ripe for these arms to surround. You think you've flown before, but baby, you ain't left the ground. Wait till you're locked in my embrace. Wait till I draw you near. Wait till you see that sunshine place. Ain't nothing like it here. The best is yet to come, and babe, won't it be fine? The best is yet to come, come the day you're mine. Come the day you're mine. And you're gonna